1 Samuel chapter 3. And everyone remembers what this is. Samuel, his name means heard of God, or his name is God, or his nature and character is of God. So, who would you say Samuel is to start with? Who would someone say, reading this book, who would you understand Samuel to be? It's the first fruit. It's the sons of God. And we know that God speaks of a corporate son, not of one person, but many-membered body of Christ. And this Samuel is each and every one of us with the understanding of God. See, that's us. So, understand this is you. Verse 1. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. It came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, Here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, Here am I, for thou called me. And he said, I called not, lie down. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, Samuel. And Samuel arose, went to Eli, and said, Here I am, for you didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son, lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, Here I am, for you didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call you, that you shall say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant hears. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called us another time, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant hears. And the Lord said to Samuel, Behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of every one that hears it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. And Samuel lay until the morning, and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he answered and said, Here I am. And he said, What is the thing that the Lord has said to you? I pray you hide it not from me. God do to you, and more so also, if you hide anything from me of all the things that he said to you. And Samuel told him every whit, and he hid nothing from him. And he said, It is the Lord. Let him do what seems to him good. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did not let any of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Father, we thank you this morning that you have given us understanding of who we are in God, that there is a great peace in our lives because of knowing that you are in control of all things, and that nothing can be done without you, without your prior approval of all things. Father, we love you and we bless you this morning. And Father, we ask your blessing upon the ones that are not here this morning, that Father, in their travels, you would continue to lead, guide, and direct them in all the ways that they need to travel, Father. We just bless you and thank you this morning for the revelation of your Spirit within us. Father, we just thank you. Amen. Back to the first verse. And the child Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. Powerful statement. Eli was the old order of the priest. But in the midst of the old order of priesthood of religion, what happened? There was a young man raised up. There was a child raised up. And this is not something external as we want to preach it, but this is something internal. In the midst of my religious beliefs and religiosity that the church has taught me, There is a child being raised up amongst each one of us. It's the Christ. And he begins to minister to the Lord in the midst of that religious Eli in our lives. Do you hear me? There's things in our life that we still cling to that are still religious. And in the midst of that, this child is going to come up and bring that change in our life. And it's that new child, that day star being raised up inside of us. Does that make sense to you? There's something going to change, but it's not going to be a drastic change all at one time. It's something that's going to take place over the years. Because Eli ministered to the Lord in the midst of Eli, in the presence of Eli, for many years before he took over. It was for years. So this is the process that's going to start. And the farther we go down this trail, there's going to be more things we pitch off to the side of the road, that we kick to the curb, that we don't need any longer, because we realize that our sufficiency is in God, right? Not in the traditions of the things we carry. Does that make sense to you? Okay? And the word of the Lord was what? Not precious, but it was rare in those days. There was no open vision. That means nobody clearly understood what God was doing. Well, that tells me volumes. I'll try to condense it just a little bit. In Passover and Pentecost realms, under the law, guess what? There's no open vision. All you're doing is living in a little shell. Right? There's no open vision. The word of the Lord is rare. You go to Passover and Pentecost churches, they'll all tell you God said. Excuse me, God don't say some of those things. They're contrary to the word of God. How could God contradict himself? He can't do it. See? So what most people are doing, since they don't know the voice of the Lord, they only know what someone has trained them to believe. They'd be trained to be parrots or trained seals, jump through the hoops, say exactly the same things that we say, and God will do what you want him to do. God is not a trained seal. God is the master. He's the ringmaster if there's a ring, okay? And he's the one directing what's to be done, not the seals trying to tell him what to do, okay? There's no open vision. But inside of myself, I have to know something. As long as I am in those realms of the law, the Passover and the Pentecost, the earthly realms of the covenant, the dust and the sand, guess what? I am going to be under the law. I'm going to be bound by this religion. But when I, inside of myself, when I realize I come to this place of tabernacles, this place of liberty and freedom and the knowledge of God, guess what? Things will change. Everything will change. If I'm living on the earth, it'll be earthly things, won't it? But when I step into the heavenlies, and see, this is something that was foreordained before the foundation of the world. He chose the ones to be seated in heavenly places in this realm. We didn't choose it. Jesus said in John 15, you didn't choose me, I chose you. Very clearly, right? So it's not about what we do to get there, it's what when we've been chosen, we have to do. See, a dog was chosen to be a dog, so he'll run rabbits, and he'll bark. The rabbit doesn't do anything, he just runs. See? Everybody's got their own position in this life, and God has chosen who he's going to set where, when, and how. It's not our choice. We didn't choose him. He chose us. And it came to pass at the time when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. Well, that tells me a great thing there too, that religion is coming to an end in my life when I realize that the Eli in my life is beginning to wax dim in his eyes. He can't see good. He can't discern any longer what's going on, can he? So that's a good thing. His vision is blurred by his own thinking process, which is religious. Okay? So this is a good thing. Before the lamp of God went out in the temple, guess who the temple is? That's us. See, we're talking an internal thing here. We don't want to keep it external because that'll never change us. As long as we're looking external, we will never, ever change. It has to be an internal thing. God is an internal God doing an internal work in a spiritual people that lives inside these earthen vessels. Okay, it's that simple. Where the ark of God was, and this is the ark of Elohim, not the ark of Yahweh, but the ark of Elohim. It's the presence of the Christ. Christ is the Elohim. God is Yahweh, the Father. Okay? So, where the ark of the Elohim was, and Samuel was laid down to do what? To sleep. Guess where he slept? In the presence of God. Guess what? Every one of us sleep in the presence of God. Everybody sleeps in the presence. Whether you know it or not, do you think for 1 minute Samuel knew what was going on in his life when he's that little boy sleeping in that room with that box? Do you think he understood the symbolism of what he was doing? He didn't understand. He was just a little boy. It's just a place to sleep. They told him, you sleep there, so he slept there. He was obedient. It's the same in our lives. We've laid down with God every day of our lives. If God wasn't laying down when we lay down to sleep, we wouldn't be here, would we? See, we've all slept in the presence of God, and we still do whether we acknowledge it or not. And see, God's feelings is not hurt whether we acknowledge that or not, because He is the one that's going to call you when you're going to open up and see that it's God in your life that's taking care of everything. Okay? That goes contrary to the old teaching that if anybody walks into the Holy of Holies, they would automatically die. Excuse me. Samuel slept there as a child. He wasn't a priest yet. And to be a priest, you had to be 30 years old. And to be a high priest, you had to be 40 years old, or 50, whatever it was, 40 or 50. So guess what? Samuel didn't qualify to be that in the natural. What he's trying to show you here is from the very beginning, he was a child that was ordained to be a son of God. And he walked in the presence of God from the very beginning. And that wasn't the day he was conceived on the earth. It was the day he was conceived in the heart of God in Genesis 1:1. Okay? From the very beginning, he was in the heart of God. So how could he ever be separated from God? It's an impossibility. And see, the greatest thing you'll ever understand is, neither can you. You can never be separated from God. Only in your thinking process can you be separated from God. If you're separated from God, you're dead. And I mean dead. Flat dead. There's no way it can happen. Because when we pass in this earth what we call dead, the book says clearly in Ecclesiastes 12:7, the dust returns to the earth from where it came, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. And tell me what's bad about that. I'm going back to my Father. What's bad about that? That's reconciliation, isn't it? There's no place for an eternal hell in that. Read your scripture. And forget what the church has tried to teach you. Verse 4, it goes on to say, that the Lord called, when he was laid down where he belongs, see, the Lord called Samuel, okay, that was Yahweh, not Elohim, Yahweh called him and said, he answered and said, here I am. And he ran to Eli. And see, when we're in our Passover experience in us, as soon as we hear something, the first thing we do is we run right back to our religious roots to try to grab a hold of something. Hello? What was that? Yeah. Go back and tell me what to do. Well, see, the first thing you made a mistake is you went to someone who didn't talk to you. God's talking to you, and we go back to humanity to get our answer. Where should you get your answer? From God. He's the one talking. But see, we're immature. We're children. We're going to make that decision to be wrong. Okay, that's okay. Mistakes aren't bad. Learn from them, right? So he ran to Eli and said, here I am for you because you called me. He said, I didn't call you. Lie down. So he went and laid down. And the Lord, Yahweh, called him again, Samuel. And Samuel rose and went to Eli again. There's our Pentecostal experience. Even then, we're going to run to humanity to get the answer instead of going to God. See, if I need an answer from God, I'm not going to come and ask you or anybody else what I should do. Who should I go to? See? And I don't have to take a long trip to the airport in Toronto or somewhere in Houston or Orlando, Florida, or California, or Kalamazoo, or any place else in the world. Because the book says if they say, lo, he's here, don't go there. He's out here in debt. Don't believe him. Because, lo, the Christ is within you. If you need the answer, all you've got to do is talk to your Father. James told you, if any man lack wisdom or understanding, ask God who gives to all men liberally. See, you don't have to go someplace to get it. It's already within you. That's what religion has kept away from you. They say, y'all, God's in you, but he's up there somewhere. If he's in you, he's in you, isn't he, Keith? Period. He's in you. And I don't have to go somewhere to get him because he's with me at all times. Wherever I go, he's there. But anyway, he said, he answered and said, I called not, my son, lie down. Now here's a clear thing that really opens up to me. After the Passover and Pentecostal experiences, Samuel did not recognize the word of God. Hello? But look what he says. Now, verse 7. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord revealed to him. Hello? In Passover and Pentecost, I don't care who it offends, it's the truth. The word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword, dividing, piercing asunder the soul from the spirit. That's what this word is about. The truth of this word will separate the soulish stuff in you from the spiritual stuff. And if people are afraid to hear the truth, they will stay in their soulish mess until they die in the flesh. You got to hear the truth if you want to be changed. You can't be changed by sitting in the same condition you're in right now. If the condition you're in right now is okay, then Jesus died on a tree for no reason. Do you hear me? He died for a reason, that this truth may be revealed to you now. If you read John chapter 15, that's going to be in our message Thursday night. John chapter 15. He said, I'm speaking it to you now so you can understand the truth and you can believe. That's why this is coming. You can't do it until he made ready what had to be ready. Now the word of the Lord was not yet done. In Job 33:14, it literally speaks and says that in the first 2 days they hear nothing. Isaiah 28 says, whom shall I teach knowledge? Those that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast, first two realms. Then he can begin to teach you in the third day. Matthew 24:19 says, woe unto them that are with child in that day and that give suck, first 2 days. See? Woe unto the first two realms. The book of Revelation says, woe unto them that the inhabitants of the earth, the Passover and Pentecost realms, the dust and the sand experience inside of us. In these first 2 days, we think we know something. We're not tearing nobody down. I'm trying to reveal to you that I'm deceived in my own mind until I come to Tabernacles. I'm the same as you. I'm no different. In my first two experiences with God in Passover and Pentecost, I was deceived. I was deceived by my mind and all the fleshly traditions that the church realm had pumped into me, just like they pumped into everybody else. And if you realize that, you will begin to analyze those with the mind God gave you according to the Word of God, and you'll see what you need to throw away. This book will reveal to you what you need to throw away. You don't have to worry about anything else. The Word of God is going to direct everything in your life. And look here in the 8th verse. And Yahweh called Samuel again the third time. Hello, welcome to Tabernacles. Come on in, son. Now it's time for you to be born again by the truth of God, by the word of God. Okay? And he arose and went to Eli. Went right back to religion again, see? He's still young. Here I am because you did call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Now, you know what religion can do for you? Now, we know we talk about religion in a negative sense. But religion can do something for you. It can point you in the direction of God. Because that's all Eli did here. He said, son, you go back and lay down. And if God calls you again, here's what you say to him. See, he just got to pump primed is all he did. He didn't have God in him. He didn't have God in an understanding because he didn't know God really, did he? Under the law. But now he says, here comes the change in your life. Here comes the new covenant in you because now you're going to meet God yourself. You're no longer going to go through a priest to talk to God, but now you're going to talk to me directly. Isn't that better? Isn't it much better? Now under the law, the people said, hey, no, Moses, you go talk to God and you come and tell us what we need to know. See, there's religion. And so many people today would rather God talk to us through the preachers and then the preacher tell me. See, because I can face the preacher easier than I can face God. See, no respect and no responsibility. He's just another man. I can slough that off. But when God talks to you directly, you've got a responsibility and an accountability in your life, don't you? See? That's all you can do. So he said, therefore Eli, the old religious man, says in me, says, Samuel, go lie down, it shall be. If he shall call you, you shall say, speak, Lord, because your servant hears. The word is shama. It means to hear with the intent to respond intelligently. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Well, how in the world did Samuel know his place if God hadn't designed it for him? His place was the Holy of Holies. It was in God was his place. He knew within his heart, without anyone teaching him, he knew where he was. See? And even a son, when they're a child, they still know that they're a son. They know their father. They maybe not, don't have a whole lot of intellect, just like right now, Joseph right there knows you're his daddy. He can say dad, can't he? Just a little tiny feller. Can't really hardly talk, but he can say dad. He knows dad, don't he? See? Why? Because a son knows his father. Because of a relationship there. Now, if you had fathered this child biologically and never seen him again, would he know you? But see, there's something going on here. What he's trying to tell you, that the son has never been separated from the father. Hello? Never has God separated from his son. Always been a relationship with his son. So why does he know him? Because of relationship. Fellowship at all times. He's never been separated. And the Lord came and stood. Oh boy. The Lord came and stood and called us at other times. See, he stood beside of him. You know why? Beg pardon? But he came and stood, it says. He came and stood. He gave him something to measure his life by. The Old Testament says, remove not the old landmarks. See? Something that you can judge something by. Guess what? The old landmark was the cross. And the Father stood there and he got to see something in his heart. He got to see the reflection of himself in his Father. And that gave him the vision to see what he was going to go through. He saw afar off. He saw the vision of God. When God come and stood beside of him. It's like the men on the road to Emmaus when Jesus expounded all the scriptures to them and they said, we didn't even know who he was at the time. But when he revealed all this stuff, didn't our hearts burn? We knew it was him. See? They had a relationship far before time in the beginning with God and they knew it whenever he showed up to them.
The Father's telling me to imitate
what you see. What you see is what you are.
See?
Yeah, when you've done all you can do, just stand. And the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will not do but produce the word. The word thing there is dabar. I will produce the word in Israel. Hello? Who is Israel? Not the nation. The person. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. What would Jacob's name become? Israel. I'll do it in Israel. People think it's a country. No, it's a man. See, God said, I'll produce the word in Israel. What happened to Jacob when he was wrestling with God all night? God touched him in the hollow of his thigh in his reproduction and changed everything that he was to where he is. See, he changed him from Jacob and said, your name will no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. He produced something in him by touching him in the hollow of his thigh. He produced that man child in him, just like he produced in Mary when she became pregnant with Jesus. See, God's touch by his Spirit produced something in him that begins to come forth now. Oh, it's wonderful pictures, wonderful pictures. No, it's the new. It's new fruit now. And see, that shepherd could no longer walk the way he used to walk. He walked with a limp. He had a distinct walk in his life. He slowed down. And he no longer did he try to run ahead of everything, but like when his brother Esau tried to get him to come back, what did he say? He said, come on back, come back. He said, no, I'm going to wait and come in with the little ones and the old ones. And I'll just bring them all in at one time. See, I'm not going to get in a hurry. I'm going to slow down. I'll get them all. Oh, says,